Warning. You know, warning labels do abound, and I suppose most of them are needed. I usually read them and take note. Now, if I read every warning label from the meds I received from A-Belts, I would never take a prescription. You wouldn't either. All that paperwork, you wouldn't buy a any of those drugs, and Buford would go bankrupt and the church budget would go down. So don't read all of that stuff, but warning labels are good. What if there was a warning label in the worship bulletin or on the screen? Maybe it should say this: warning, participation in worship may permanently change your life or cure insomnia. What if we put that every week? Warning, participation in worship may permanently change your life. Robert Weber, one who writes so much on worship, delivered a warning to the church in one of his many books on worship. You see it on the screen. For years, the church has emphasized evangelism, teaching, fellowship, missions, and service to society to the neglect of the very source of her power, worship. So I want to spend several weeks sharing about the very source of our power. I want to preach about worship. Our text for not only this Sunday, but for the next four Sundays will be that wonderful Psalm 100. John read the first two verses. What a powerful, rich, beautiful poetry found in the Psalter. Here's the first warning that I find in Psalm 100, and that is this: true worship delivers you into the very presence of God. True worship delivers you into the very presence of God. Psalm 100 is an extended call to worship. It's a call to worship Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews. It is a psalm of thanksgiving, and often we only look at Psalm 100 at Thanksgiving. But it's a psalm for all days. Originally, Psalm 100 was sung by Israel as they entered into the temple in Jerusalem. Scholars most believe that this psalm, Psalm 100, was a series of psalms composed for the dedication of the restoration of the temple after the exile in Babylon. So the temple has now been restored, and the worshipers are gathered at the temple gates. They're making preparation to joyfully pass through the gates into the temple. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, pure and true worship. Psalm 100, and really all true worship, literally brings you directly. All true worship delivers you into the very presence of God. Verse 2 of Psalm 100, NIV translation says, come before Him. The old King James Version said, come into His presence. I remember of May of 2012, Katie Couric was in London for the wonderful Diamond Jubilee Garden Party of Queen Elizabeth. Now, I have always thought that Katie Couric, whether she was on CBS, ABC, NBC Today, was just a fascinating journalist. I loved to watch her. She interviewed, then on 60 Minutes. Well, this particular time, May of 2012, she described what she did to get ready. She had the exclusive interview with the Queen. On that day, at least on when they aired that, Katie Couric was beautiful as always, charming in her countenance. She was so gracious as she sat with the queen. She wore a wonderful white, not the queen, Katie, the wonderful white hat, not too big, but just the right size on her head. And she talked about this moment in a lifetime to interview the queen. She said, "I've never prepared for any interview more than this one, for I was in the presence of the queen." How prepared are you as you come into the presence of God Himself in worship? A contemporary translation of Psalm 100 says, "Get ready. You are coming into the awesome presence of the living God. Get ready indeed." That very call to enter into His presence raises the level of expectation of worship in and of itself. Regardless of the music, regardless of the prelude or the congregational singing, contemporary, blended, regardless of the choral anthem and even the sermon, we must remember where we are. We must remember who is in our midst. Warning: worship delivers you into the very presence of God. I think a second warning can be found in Psalm 100 as well, and that is this: true worship demands, it draws out, and it delights with joy, gladness, and joyful song. True worship, it demands, it draws out, and it delights with joy. It delights in gladness and joyful song. My friend and professor at Baylor, Dr. Bill Bellinger, he's chairman of the religion department. Dr. Bellinger came to Baylor during my junior year, and he taught Psalms that first semester, and I took a semester with Dr. Bellinger teaching Psalms. It was an incredible, incredible class. Interesting note, 35 years later, my son takes that same class with Dr. Bellinger. And all the notes that Dr. Bellinger had shared, he now put in a book and sold the book for $250. So Truett bought the book that I had been a part, and I said, "Truett, just take my notes. It'd be a lot cheaper." But Dr. Bellinger, whenever he taught about any Old Testament, but especially about the Psalms, he would always say, "The Psalms in its entirety bears witness to the place of joy and gladness of God's people." Now, the Psalms have all different types. There are thanksgiving psalms and psalms of praise, royal psalms, psalms of wisdom, and even psalms of lament and sorrow. But regardless of what type of psalm, they always, in their entirety, bear witness to the place of joy in the life of God's people. Now picture ancient Israel. For so long, they had longed to be back in the temple. They had been exiled away, and they could only think of what it would be to go home. To go home to Jerusalem. To go home. We had that sermon series back in the fall. To go home. And yes, they built the walls. But to go home to the church. To go home to the temple. And that's where this psalm is. They're preparing for the first time to enter the gates of the temple. And the psalmist says, "Shout for joy. Shout a joyful noise. On your feet applaud God. Seeing yourself into the very presence of God." That word "shout" in Hebrew, ruah, means a jubilant word and a spontaneous shout of praise to Yahweh. The word "gladness" is the word zimba, which means being glad or joyful with the entirety of one's disposition. Shout with joy with all that you have. One's total being. Psalm 100 begins with a holy cry for for joy. Israel had come with joy to worship God, the God who had been so faithful to His covenant. God had been faithful to His covenant since the days of Abraham. God had been faithful to His covenant through that Exodus event. For generation after generation after generation, God was always faithful. Now the people, they weren't always faithful, but God kept His covenant. Joyful singing was an inevitable expression of the people, for they had experienced this undeserved favor of their living God. They had experienced this undeserved grace of God. Worship demands that. Worship demands, and it draws out, and it delights in joy, gladness, and joyful song. Beware. Beware indeed. Can we talk? I usually, most Sundays, every Sunday, if not at the beginning, in the middle, will find my way up to my pew. Now, a lot of pastors don't want to sit on the platform. They like to sit down there, and that's good. They can be wrong. I like sitting up here so I can see you. And I know when you're not here. I know when your pew is gone. And then when you say, I really enjoyed that sermon on Wednesday night, and I say, you lie, you weren't even here. Sometimes you're here and I don't notice you occasionally, but usually not. And I love to sit and see visitors and guests. But sometimes I think, Lord, help me. I should just sit back in the parlor, because sad and sullen faces abound. We sing, joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. We are happy. Yes, we are. We are great. It's painful at times to watch you in worship, but not always. Now I want you to hear me. Let's be honest. There's sometimes it's all you can do to make it to worship. You're struggling to sense God, to feel God's presence. You may even doubt whether God is, but you come to worship. Sometimes as we enter worship, we're filled with despair, depression. I know in the congregation this morning there are some who are suffering physically, and if not you, your family members are, and their emotional hurts, and spiritually some void. And here I'm talking about joy and gladness and joyful song. Don't ever forget the lessons of Advent. It's just been a few weeks ago that the third week of Advent, the theme was joy. And please hear again, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is fickle. Happiness is fleeting, but joy runs deep. Our friend, less than a year ago, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. 59 years old, college professor, 2 college-age children. Yesterday was her funeral. Irene and I were not able to go, but we live-streamed and watched the entire hour-and-a-half memorial service at First Baptist Church, Waco. And in the midst of that funeral service, there was such joy, not happiness. Oh, but the joy that ran so deeply as we celebrated, as we watched on Facebook, as we celebrated, as we worshiped in our living room, watching this life faithfully lived in the presence of God that filled that beautiful sanctuary that we were seeing through the computer. Joy. Joy indeed. There was joy because we knew the words of Jesus, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Joy. Joy for the mercy and the grace of God. There's joy when we realize for a while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's joy. joy that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin. There's joy when we realize God so loved the world. Joy. We can't help but sing, as we just sang, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Him. We can't help but sing, worthy of worship, worthy of praise, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. There is within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers, sweet and lo, victory, victory in Jesus' amazing grace. We sang it last week. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me and you. We once were lost, but now we're found. Was blind, but now we see. Augustine said this. Read the quote. Sing to the Lord a new song, but let not your life belie the words. Sing with your voice. Sing with your heart. Sing with your mouth. But yes, whatever you do, sing with your whole life. Let's say Psalm 100 together. The words are on the screen. These first two verses. Say them with me. Shout for joy. Yes, indeed. Warning, warning, true worship delivers you into the very presence of God. That's a warning we should heed. Warning, worship demands and it draws out and it delights in joy and gladness and joyful song. Yes, the box says warning. Participation in worship may permanently change your life. I hope and pray that it does. Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for your word that reminds us of who you are and who we are and to whom we belong. And regardless of what life throws at us or brings to us, we can lift our voices with joy and joyful song, with gladness, with a shout to you. Worship will change us. Worship longs to change us. Oh God, make our hearts soft. Make our hearts open to what you long to do. Come, my fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never, ever ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Oh God, hear our song, know our heart. Thank you for worship, for your presence here today. Oh God, we thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.